Once it happened, a gentleman carrying an infant was traveling from London to Bristol on a train. Another gentleman entered the compartment, dumped his two huge suitcases, and sat beside the first. The gentleman waited very politely for an appropriate amount of time. Then he turned to the second passenger and said, "Looking at your suitcases, I presume you are a salesperson. I am also one." The gentleman said, "Yes, I am a salesperson." Another genteel pause. Then the first passenger asked, "What do you sell?" The other replied, "I sell helical gears." Another decorous silence. Then he asked the first gentleman, "And what do you sell?" He said, "I sell condoms." Shocked, the second gentleman said, "You sell condoms, and you're taking your son with you on your business. Is that appropriate?" "This is not my son," replied the first passenger. "It is a complaint from Bristol." Human beings are in a perennial state of complaint. They carry their complaints with them like a badge of their identity. There are many who live their lives lamenting that life has been particularly unfair to them. They cite instances of all the terrible things that have befallen them, the chances they never got, the many injustices they have suffered. Maybe it is even true. What most people forget is, the past exists within each one of us only as memory. Memory has no objective existence. It is not existential, it is purely psychological. If you retain your ability to respond, your memory of the past will become an empowering process. But if you are in a compulsive cycle of reactivity, memory distorts your perception of the present. And your thoughts, emotions, and actions become disproportionate to the reality in which you exist. The choice is always before you to respond consciously to the present or to react compulsively to it. There is a vast difference between the two, and it can make the world of a difference. If terrible things have happened to you, you ought to have grown wise. If the worst possible events have befallen you, you should be the wisest of the lot. But instead of growing wise, most people become wounded. In a state of conscious response, it is possible to use every life situation, however ugly, as an opportunity for growth. But if you habitually think, "I am the way I am because of someone else," you are using life situations merely as an opportunity for self-destruction and stagnation. I once heard a moving account of a woman who used one of the most horrific life situations to transform herself into a beautiful being. In the beginning of World War II, a bunch of Nazi soldiers broke into a house in Austria. They took the adults away separately, and the two children, a 13-year-old girl and an 8-year-old boy, were taken to a railway station. As they waited along with other children for the train to arrive, the boys started a game. Oblivious to what lay in store, they started playing as children are wont to do. A cargo train arrived, and the soldiers started packing everyone into it. Once they were in, the girl noticed that her brother had forgotten to bring his shoes. It was an Austrian winter, a bitter one. Without shoes, you could lose your feet. The girl lost her temper. She shook the little kid brother, boxed his ears, and abused him. "You idiot, don't we have enough trouble on our hands? We don't know where our parents are. We don't know where we are going, and now you go and lose your shoes. What am I supposed to do with you?" In the next station, the boys and girls were separated, and that was the last that the brother and the sister ever saw of each other. About 3.5 years later, the girl came out of the concentration camp. She discovered she was the only one alive in her family. Everyone else had vanished. including her brother. All that remained was the memory of the harsh words she had uttered the last time she had seen him alive. That was when she made a life-changing decision. It doesn't matter who I meet. I will never speak to them in a manner that I regret later, because this meeting could be my last. She could have spent her life in defeat and remorse, but she made this simple decision which transformed her life phenomenally. She went on to live a rich and fulfilled life. The most horrific things in life can be a source of nourishment if you accept, I am responsible for the way I am right now. It is possible to transform the greatest adversity into a stepping stone for self-transformation. If you take 100% responsibility for the way you are now, a brighter tomorrow is a possibility. But if you take no responsibility for the present, if you blame your parents, your friend, your husband, your wife, your colleagues for the way you are, you have forsaken your future even before it comes. You come into this world with nothing. You go empty-handed. The wealth of life lies only in how you have allowed its experiences to enrich you. Filth can blossom into the fragrance of a flower. Manure can transform itself into the sweetness of a mango. No adversity is an impediment if you are in a state of conscious response, no matter what the nature of the situation you are in. It can only enhance your experience of life if you allow it to. Resentment, anger, jealousy, pain, hurt, and depression are poisons that you drink but expect someone else to die. Life does not work like that. Most people take lifetimes to understand this simple truth. Now that we have established what responsibility is, it is time to look at what it is not. Let us start by clearing up a few fundamental misconceptions. For one, many believe that taking responsibility compromises their freedom. This seems to be logically true on a simplistic level. Existentially, it is completely off the mark. Which is freedom? You have choices or you have none. Your logical mind tells you give up all responsibility and you will be free. But in your experience of life, the more you are able to respond to everything around you, the freer you are. The logical and experiential dimensions of life work in diametrically opposite ways. Logic is not without its uses, but it helps only to handle the material aspects of life. If you handle your entire life with logic alone, you will end up a mess. Secondly, people often confuse responsibility with reaction. We have already demonstrated earlier that there is a world of difference between the two. The first is born in awareness, the second in unawareness. The first is born in consciousness, the second in unconsciousness. The first is freedom, the second is enslavement. It is time to make yet another distinction. Responsibility is not reaction, but it is not action either. Responsibility and action belong to different dimensions. The ability to respond gives you the freedom to act. It also gives you the freedom not to act. It puts you in the driver's seat of your life. It empowers you to decide the nature and volume of action you want to undertake. Responsibility is not compulsive action. It offers you the whole choice of action. Can you act upon everything in the world today? No. But you can respond to everything in the world today. Action has to be judiciously performed, depending upon a careful analysis of resources, strength, capability, energy, situation. Your ability to act is always limited, but there are no limitations on your ability to respond. If you are willing, you can respond to just about everything. Just because you are responsible for your children, are you able to do everything for them? If you did everything for them, you would mess up their lives. Your sense of responsibility makes you do certain things for them and not do others. So responsibility does not mean unbridled action, far from it. How, you may ask, are you responsible for the violence and injustice in the world? How are you responsible for the war and the bloodshed, the atrocities against the marginal and the underprivileged all over the world? Certainly you are not to blame for any of it, but the moment you become conscious of any of these events, you do respond either in concern, love, care, hate, anger, indignation, or even action. It is just that this is often an unconscious reaction rather than a conscious response. If you make this ability to respond into your willing process, that marks the birth of a tremendous new possibility within you. Your inner genius begins to flower. Can you then respond to the moon? You can. Your body and life energy certainly do. When entire oceans rise in response to the cycles of the moon, do you think the water content in your own system doesn't rise as well? Maybe you're not an astronaut. Maybe you can never walk on the moon, but you can respond to the moon. In fact, you already do. You can just choose to do it willingly, consciously. And that brings us to the fourth misconception. Many think responsibility means capability. Wrong again. When it comes to action, capability could play a role. But when it comes to response, it is just a question of willingness. If you see someone dying on the street, are you responsible? If you are willing to respond, you will explore various options. If you are a doctor, you will try direct intervention. If you are not, you may call 911. Or if all this is being done by someone else, you will at least have concern in your heart. But if you think you are not responsible, you will just sit there like a stone, watching someone die before your eyes. Your ability to respond is the way you are. Only your ability to act is connected with the outside world. Responsibility is not about talking, thinking, or doing. Responsibility is about being. That's the way life is, not an independent, self-contained bubble, but a moment-to-moment dialogue with the universe. You don't have to work at making it that way. You just have to see it the way it is.